To launch year number 10, this is Golf Smarter number 468, published on December 23, 2014.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Lower Body Launch Power, Part 2 with Jamie Zimron.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jamie.
Thank you so much, Fred. Glad to be back.
Happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy holidays to all of us.
Absolutely, all of the above, right?
Yep, everybody. Everybody, mm-hmm. All-inclusive. Happy, happy December. What can you do about it? So let's go back now, because last week's conversation was amazing, got so much out of it, and it just launched so many more questions for me. I want to go back and learn a little bit more before we get into the lower part of the body and how that really is so critical for your balance. But I want to talk about your BLISS concept, the BLISS Works, what it stands for. I know it's an acronym, and how we incorporate that into our game.
Okay, well, the acronym is B is balance, L lengthen, I integrate, S stretch, S strengthen. So BLISS. It's a fitness system developed by a wonderful woman, a teacher of mine in San Diego. Her name is Joanne Kettler. And I've adapted it to golf. So we have 18 holes of golf bliss, make your golf club your health club, office bliss, how to take refreshing, refocusing, creativity and productivity inspiring bliss breaks at work, fitness breaks. What's important about bliss is exactly every one of those letters. Let me talk a little bit about the I part, integrate. Integrate has to do with getting your left and your right sides working together, literally your sides of your body, your left and right hands, your left and right hemispheres of your brain. It also has to do with the lower and the upper body, getting them integrated and working together. It has to do with the mind and body, the thought, the visualization connected to the physical execution of what you're wanting to do. And the other part, which is kind of interesting, this gets a little deeper, maybe a little more esoteric, but it's the integration of the inner body and the outer body. What does that mean? There's our inner body, kind of that inner thought process inside, and our energy, our breath, this life energy, this ki that we have that is actually what we're needing to get out to our outer physical limbs and then out into our golf club and into the golf ball. So this inner body, outer body thing is really, it's a frontier for most people. Yogis, martial artists, people in the East know a little bit more about the inner body than we tend to here in the West. Deepak Chopra, who's quite famous, Dr. Deepak Chopra, talks about becoming astronauts of inner space. So part of the training I do is to help people to get in touch, focus on the inside, and to begin to feel that their energy inside, their mind and their body, and then learn how to get that out to the outer body where we're actually performing and interacting with the world, with the tools of our trade, with people, with the project, the golf ball, the thing we're trying to accomplish.
So now let's thank you for that explanation, and I'm it just makes me think, like, when you bring that California thing with you to back to Michigan, are there people who are like totally enthusiastic about it? And I'm not talking about your folks. Are they just like rolling their eyes, going, "Oh, you've been in California way too long"?
Well, you know what? I just got back from Denver yesterday. I was working with some corporate folks and some executives in Denver. I have done this stuff literally all over the world, all over the Midwest and Florida. I was in Ethiopia not so long ago. I've been in the Middle East, been all over Canada. They seem to have life energy and inner bodies and outer bodies everywhere I've ever been. Now, I get to joke about it. I'm from California, so I can talk about it. But the thing is, this is, it's really not so out there. It's not really so esoteric. It's definitely not just woo-woo and new agey. I do some just some basic exercises where everybody begins to realize, oh, yeah. And within a few minutes, they're all right there with me. And they're going like, boy, why didn't everybody ever tell me this? This is, makes so much common sense, and nobody talks about it this way. I remember I had a guy, he was probably, I don't know, late 70s in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, right? And he said to me, boy, now I really wish I was 20 because I'd like to really start my life over now knowing this and start my golf over. If someone would have taught me about my energy, that would have helped me a long time ago and how it works. And it's so obvious now that you point it out. And it really isn't so California, and it's certainly not woo-woo. It's actually very practical, very commonsensical. Well, we still make California jokes, and I mean, that's the great thing. I'm from California, so I get to talk.
No, you're not.
It.
You're from Michigan.
I'm from Wisconsin. Excuse you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. My real bad. That's a big mistake, especially when you're talking about college sports. You know what? I just want to let you know, years ago, and back in 2011, March 2011, you and I did a video together that has been up on Golf Smarter TV. And people should go check this out. It's the Golf Smarter TV Jamie Zimmeron Chipping Tip. We've gotten over 1,200, almost 1,300 views on that thing. So obviously it's working for a lot of people. That's fabulous. I would like to say I had 100 million views, but you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, after this, we probably will.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what, you know what? I did a video, and you can see it. Everybody can go to it. It's on YouTube. It was for this Golf Channel instructor search contest. I had so many people wanted me to win that thing. Turned out they were whatever. It wasn't exactly a real contest. Doesn't matter. But I actually gave about a 10-minute teaching segment and a lot of some fundamentals of golf and Kii golf. It's very interesting. And then I did a 90-second little tip on the secret of the right knee and the lower body launch power. That's what I call it, lower body launch power. That has over 31 or 2,000 views. So I recommend people look at that. And the one that you and I did on chipping is perfect because that's the core drill to start to understand how to use your lower body. And what's nice is it'll give you better chipping, better short game. And that, it turns out, is the sort of microcosm of your full swing. If you can get that down, you have not only a better short game, a proper use of your lower body, and you also have the true core foundation of your full swing. So I really recommend that maybe we'll get those 1,200 views up to 12,000 pretty quick.
Well, yeah, your Golf Channel instruction video has over 33,000 views. That's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
yeah.
Congratulations. Very
Thank
impressive.
You.
Very impressive. So now let's go back to, and if I can use, you know, again, stealing from you, lower body launch power. Love it. That could be the name of this episode. Let's talk about the lower body, the balance, the knees, all that and stability that is so critically important, that is just overlooked by so many people. People just don't realize the value of how important it is to be balanced.
Well, let me tell you, overlook is a good word, because if you can imagine yourself addressing a golf ball, you're standing up tall, you're maybe bent, you know, at your angle to address the ball, but you're up there, you're in your head, and you're overlooking the golf ball, you're overlooking things, and all you can look at and see is your arms and your whole body, your trunk, your core, your legs, your feet get literally overlooked as you're up there from up above holding your club and looking down at your golf ball. And this is one part of where being disconnected from the lower body begins. So let me say this. A lot of people think that there is no footwork in golf, or if you begin to talk about that, like, huh, you're just standing there. There's obviously footwork in tennis or in dancing or in football, right? But because we're just standing there, not going anywhere, people don't think there's footwork involved in golf. But I guarantee that if you talk to any tour pro or any teacher of tour pros, they are working on their footwork in a big way. So the first thing is to actually feel your feet, right? And you get kind of heavy in your belly. That connects you into your legs, and that will go, translate right down to the soles of your feet. All of a sudden, you're feeling more present, stronger, more grounded as you're addressing the golf ball. These are keys to what a lot of instructors say, take an athletic stance. But so many people don't even know what that means mm-hmm. or what that would feel like. So that's the first part of it. And footwork, you know, typically, or in general, I would say there's controversies about this in the golf swing. But the modern golf swing, the left foot, if you're right-handed, the left foot stays down on your backswing. Now, some weight rolls into the arch of your foot, and that allows your right hip to turn, and then that lets your spine turn and your shoulders turn. But it begins down there on your foot and your left foot and your left instep. Obviously, if you're a left-handed golfer, it would start in your right foot. But we try to keep that foot down on the ground, and what that enables is this sort of dynamic tension, a dynamic coil of the body. If you lift that foot, lift the heel up too much, what can happen is that you sort of sway your body, your energy sort of goes floating up there into right upper outer space.
Are we talking about we're talking about the left foot or the right foot now for a right-handed golfer?
For a right-handed golfer, the left foot
right.
backswing.
On the backswing.
On the backswing.
Right.
The backswing.
So many people do that. I don't know why it seems like a natural thing when you're not instructed that you, on your backswing, that right heel comes up and the left heel comes up.
Yeah.
And the knee is now pointing not towards the ball or straight. It's pointing way behind you. It's pointing, right?
Yep. You lose that connection to the earth. It allows that kind of coiling of your energy and your power as you rotate, you know, into the backswing when that heel comes up. And a lot of times it comes up either from lack of proper instruction, you just don't know any better, but it also comes up, this is where fitness comes in. If your muscles are too tight, if you can't really rotate, if your hips and your low back and your quadratus lumborum, if these things are too tight, or your hamstrings, you can't keep that foot down. So part of fitness is to and flexibility, as well as strength training in the quads and the legs, but particularly flexibility enables that left foot to stay down on the backswing. And along with the left foot and the left instep, okay, the left heel stays down, pressure on the left instep. What happens in the right leg? We're talking about lower body on the backswing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you.
Please.
What happens with the right leg is nothing, in a sense. I mean, when you address the ball, I always tell people toes a little out, knees a little in. Okay, you've created this kind of
toes out, knees in.
Toes are out a little bit, particularly the four toes, but they're out, they're flared out just a little bit. The reason for that is anatomical. It enables the hip joints to be more open so that you have rotational ability. A lot of people, first thing I look at is in a person's stance is their feet. And if they're pointing straight ahead, real square, that locks the trochanter. The hip, it locks the rotational ability, and then people have a hard time turning. They strain their back, and they're all they can do is try to lift the club with their shoulders and their hands, and all of a sudden they're in their upper body. A little flare out of the toes and pull the knees in a little bit towards the golf club. The golf club's kind of right there in the center line. If you toes out, knees in, what happens is, number one, you've got your weight on your insteps. That's helpful. That's what Jack Nicklaus said, right? Golf's mm-hmm. play between the arches of your feet. In classical golf instruction, it's referred to as pronating. When you get your weight on the insteps and the toes are flared out a little, the knees are in a little, number one, you're locked in around the center line. That's a good thing. You're not going to sway so much. Number two, you can actually push a little bit on that left instep and you're able, your hips are open enough that you can make the rotational turn.
I just realized something that months ago, maybe this year, early this year or last year, but I realized that on my follow through of my swing, I was rolling over my left foot. So my
outer part
on the outer part. So that when I was my swing was complete, the sole of my foot was up. right? Mm-hmm. And pace and facing back towards my other foot. And it was suggested to me that a simple fix on that would be just open my toes, you know, open my stance, right? Point my toes out a little bit. And I just realized that since I've been doing that, my back pain is a lot less. Is that coincidental or is that something that's helped?
It's anatomical. It's anatomical.
I'm blown away right now. And I thought
it
was
anatomy.
So I don't have to go swimming every week. So
Well, no, here's the thing. I mean, you know, you will end up a little bit on the outer part of your left foot in the follow through.
Right.
But, you know, it sounds like that was really exaggerated in your case. Mm-hmm. And when you have toes out, knees in at address, actually the forward foot, left foot if you're a righty, right foot if you're a lefty, will be flared out a little bit more than the back foot. That's because as you keep your forward foot down on the backswing and you keep that back knee flexed, but without straightening, without swaying over to the side, it just stays put where it is. Then you're able to kind of turn into that back leg, load and coil up your power, and you actually want some kind of a stop on that rotation. You don't want to just rotate. That's why you turn the back foot out a little bit, but not a lot. Now when you're coming through, and we'll talk about that part in a minute, but when you're coming through it, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour with a lot of power and speed and energy. That's a lot for a skeleton and muscles for a body to handle. And so if that forward foot is flared out even a little more, it allows us to go shoom and really release and still have some hold, some stop there so that we can have a balanced finish. But that's what takes the pressure off your back and even your knees.
Mm-hmm. Give me a drill. Give me some help to, not for me, of course, for a friend of mine.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely not
all
for me.
All your friends.
Yeah, it's just
you
for
have
me.
A lot of friends.
Right. Not as many as you with 33,000 views. But on the how to remind myself, how to create a drill for myself to make sure that I keep my left heel down on the backswing. How do you keep the lower body quiet?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, some people will, you know, maybe put a tiny piece of board. You can just get a little sort of board and put it on the inside of the foot, you know, inside of the shoe, and they don't want to move that board. You know what I'm saying? So that's just a little visual.
Not
in the shoe. No, next to it.
Okay.
You could put a golf club down right next to that foot. Yeah. And you don't want to be moving the golf club. You know what I'm saying? Or you could have a golf club that is on the other outside of the foot, and you don't want to, you know, you could put your foot in a little track.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to keep it there. You don't want to be lifting it or rolling over it or stepping on it. You know, that's a basic one. Let me say something else. So the forward foot stays down, right? And most people, not most, but a lot of people tend to lift the heel on the forward foot. Mm-hmm. Now, then they do something really interesting, which is they come down in the downswing impact phase of the swing, leading with their shoulders and their hands. And they try to hit the ball hard, kill it with their upper body, right? Not knowing how to engage and properly use the lower body. And then what happens is they try to hit it with their arms, and that back foot, for a righty, that'll be the right foot. A lefty would be the left foot. But the back foot, they tend to keep on the ground or to only rotate through a little bit. And it's actually sort of, you know, bass ackwards. But they lift the forward foot and they keep the back foot down when they're supposed to keep the forward foot down. And as they come through, it's just like throwing a ball. You could be throwing a baseball. You could be hitting a baseball. You could be throwing a football. You could be hitting a tennis ball. All of those throw the ball sports, which is what golf is, a throw the ball sport. The body mechanics of throwing a ball, before the arms, the shoulders, anything gets engaged, the back foot, the instep of the back foot rolls a little bit, that sort of slight pronation, the instep of the foot, and then that kicks in the back knee. Gary Player was huge on this, by the way, best example. And so right foot, right knee for a righty, and then that starts to turn the hips, and then that allows the shoulders, elbows to just relax and drop into place. Then the hands come through, they release through the golf ball. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you're kind of on your right instep. And to finish the swing, rather than lifting with the shoulders, the elbows, the hands, lifting the club up, you actually keep the right foot, the back foot turning after you've launched from the instep and knee and hips. And you keep the foot turning till you're up on your toe. And here's a really, really big tip. I'm not kidding. I've had so many thanks for this one. Turn your heel. Turn your right heel. If you turn your right heel, it controls your hips. So you turn the right heel, the hips automatically turn. Now your belly, your belt buckle, your center is facing the target. And now your shoulders turn automatically. One of my students calls it, they get a free ride on your feet and your hips. Because guess what? If you're in good posture, they're right over your hips and feet. If you turn your foot, your heel turns your hips. Now your shoulders turn. Your hands and your club come flying through. This is right there visualized on video in Lower Body Launch Power on that Golf Channel video that I did, so people can see what I'm talking about. But it is amazing. So a lot of times people are told to stand on their right toe. In their finished position, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're a righty. But more than just being on your toe, turn your heel, because it's your heel that is like this lever that turns your hips. And when your hips turn, that's when your center, your belly button, your belt buckle is facing down the fairway, facing your target. And your hips and your hands and your club have automatically just flown through with their full speed, full club head speed, and you are facing your target. After you've launched the ball down the line, and you've been able to launch the ball down the line, which is what you've done with your, you know, on the downswing impact phase with the back instep and knee and hips. So you've launched the ball down the line, and now you finish up completely.
So when you're saying rotate the heel, lift the heel, turn the heel, you mean rotate on the ball of your foot, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you're sort of in a natural turning motion and from your foot. And so, yeah, you're turning on your big toe, shall we say, ball and big toe, until you're standing tall on that your toes. But you've actually turned your heel as well. Many times, and you can just go up and down the driving range. If you watch people's finish position and you look at their back foot, look at where it is. Not a lot of people have fully turned their foot all the way to turning the heel. And so then they haven't had a complete follow through.
What it sounds like to me is that, and I think this is a problem with so many golfers, is that to them, the contact with the golf ball is like the end of the swing. There's not a lot of thought or energy put into the follow through.
Yeah, I think that's true. To use a martial arts metaphor, if anybody's ever tried to break a board, if you try to just hit the board to break it, you will hurt your hand.
Right.
That's like if you're just hitting the ball, but you're not thinking about getting through it. To break a board, you don't think about the board. You are focusing a foot or two past the board. You're trying to like touch all the way down to the floor with your hand. The board's just in the way, shall we say. And then it like sort of magically splits in two because the energy's gone all the way through. Same with the golf ball. When we say the golf ball gets in the way of the swing, you're not trying to hit the ball. You're moving all the way through it and extending through it. Mm-hmm. In Aikido, or when we try to teach people, we have these rolls, forward rolls. So you have to roll on your arm and body and end up standing. A lot of people try to just like kind of get their arm down and do this roll. But a lot of times, and they have trouble with it. So if I tell them, you know what, here's how you should be at the end. You should be standing up all the way at the end. Just focus on being standing at the end. And when they do that, all of a sudden they roll. The roll happens because they're standing up. You know, the momentum, the energy carries all the way through. So the follow-through is important. partially because it means that we've just sort of swept right through the ball. But the balance in position at the end is absolutely crucial. And it's both a cause and an effect of a good golf shot. It means that the energy was contained throughout the swing, it delivered into the ball, and now here you are standing in good balance. For people who try to hit the ball, you'll see it all the time, especially these guys. The women aren't as guilty of it because they don't just use so much brute force. But these guys who are going to hit it a ton or a mile, they try to hit the ball, and then they do that, and they get this rebound kickback effect. And so they kick back, and they're standing there like, I mean, and nothing that begins to resemble their initial address position or proper follow-through position. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're standing there going, oh, my God, they're watching this, like, huge slice off into somebody's roof or whatever. And they're going, gosh, I wonder what happened. How did that get offline? Or how come that didn't go anywhere?
No, my favorite is, I lifted my head.
Yeah, right.
it's the go-to response whenever a bad shot happens. Oh, I lifted my head. It's like, no, you didn't. That's not your problem. Go ahead.
You don't know. That was a good entree. You teed it up for me to talk about lifting your head.
Okay.
And what that's
not where I was going to go, but I'm glad I did. Go ahead.
What's that really all about when we say keep your head down or keep your eye on the ball? I'm going to tell you from a Kiai golf point of view what that's really all about. That means that you have stayed, for the most part, centered and in balance during your golf swing. What does that mean? For example, an analogy I like to use is the solar system, where we have planets circling around, because the golf swing is basically this orbit around our body, our rotational body. So in the solar system, we have to have the sun, and the sun is strong and steady in the middle. And then all the planets go around their orbit. If you could imagine the sun looking up, right, the sun starts dancing around, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be flying all over the place. Same like those revolving doors in buildings. It has a really strong center column, and then the door goes around nicely. But if that thing wasn't bolted down and strong and in place and was moving around, we wouldn't be able to make a smooth circle through the door. Same thing in our golf swing. We are that center column. Our trunk of our body and our legs and our feet create that strong center column that we rotate around so that we can have a good, consistent circular arc of the swing that the ball then gets in the way of. When we lift our head or move our eyes or sway or don't have stability and strength in our lower body, what we've done is destroy the orbit of the golf swing. And that means that the club is not going to come down properly or in any consistent way or hit the sweet spot from the club to the golf ball, once in a while, but not so much. That's why when we have stability and we keep our eye on the ball, we keep our head down, we're able to keep the orbit of the swing intact, and therefore we can then make centered contact on the golf ball. How's that?
That was a woo-woo moment. I think we definitely just had a woo-woo moment.
It's a woo-woo true moment. That's what I mean. It actually makes a ton of sense. And when you lift your head or you look up and you peek, even putting a tiny little stroke, right? The minute you peek and you move your eyes or you move your head or you wobble your body, you've just destroyed the path of the club, of the putting stroke, and then you don't hit the ball. The putter doesn't make very good contact with the ball, and it goes offline. It doesn't go the proper distance. It's not a nice, smooth, rolling putt. So stability in putting is huge, and keeping your head down and your knees steady and, you know, having a solid foundation so that then you can just make the stroke and deliver that energy, just a sweet spot, just the way you want, and roll the ball right up the line.
Oh,
common sense.
Yeah, but wait, we're getting into putting now too? We don't have that. That's a whole nother episode. We only have seconds left.
Kiai putting.
Yeah, Kiai putting. Here we go. All right, well then, that definitely means that you can't wait, or I can't wait, another couple of years to invite you back on. We've got to have you back on.
I mean, really, we could keep going.
Way too long.
Yes.
I mean, that last episode back in 2011, that was just after we played golf together, and that's been too long. Now that we're both here in Northern California, but you're moving around so much. You're traveling like crazy.
Well, I have to tell you very briefly the origins of Kei Golf. How did I get back to golf? How did this happen?
Yeah.
It's a great little story, actually written up in a new Aikido in Daily Life book. But here's the story. My best friend since kindergarten from Milwaukee, I went to the same grade school and high school, one of those types. I was not an army brat. It was just, same place the whole way through. So my best friend since 4 years old was visiting me in San Diego, and she said, "Hey, I'm golfing. Would you give me a golf lesson?" Now, mind you, I was being an Aikido instructor, not a golf pro at that time. And I said, "Yeah, sure." I took my 7-iron and my Aikido sword, and she took her golf clubs, and we went to Torrey Pines to the driving range. And I started showing her a few things about being just these basics that we're talking about in her stance and grounded and centered and extension and relaxed release into the golf ball. Well, she started hitting the ball within 1 hour, like unbelievably. She could not believe it. I was kind of surprised too. It was working so well, truth be told. But she literally fell on the ground. She threw her clubs and her feet up in the air. I remember she yelped and she went, "Oh, wow, you've got to teach this to the world. This is amazing." She goes, "This is like enlightenment." And I remember going, "Yeah, that was pretty cool. That really worked."
Wow.
It was like the golf sensei sort of appeared full blown. This is like 15 years ago. And so I started going to the driving range quietly by myself for about a year and putting all these principles back into practice and consciously developing my golf game. And that's when I rejoined the LPGA and developed Kei Golf, et cetera, et cetera. But it started from that one hour that was just, just so happened to be. And for her to go, "This is like enlightenment. You got to teach us to the world." So I've been trying to do that. And I do see that it's making a difference and that it's certainly putting some new thoughts, new practices, new perspectives into the whole approach to teaching the game better, playing the game better, and actually having people improve, because golfers don't really improve that much.
It's true.
Pour a lot of money and ego and energy. You go to the golf show, a couple million square feet of golf stuff. You watch Golf Channel 24/7. And the statistics on handicaps going down is one indicator of real golf improvement are really dismal. I mean, they're like, they're almost down at 0%. So most of us don't take that kind of ROI, right? Return on investment in anything, but we keep plodding along in golf. And I think that there's ways to make a real difference. And I've seen that bringing these kinds of principles and practices that are actually quite accessible make a big difference for golfers at every level, beginners, intermediate players, advanced players, even pros. Really makes a difference.
Absolutely. And I know for instructors, it's like beating their head against the wall that these numbers don't go down. But for someone like me who likes to talk to golf instructors, it's awesome.
Yeah. I'll just say one more thing. I mean, everybody has their system and whatever. And the thing about Kei Golf, I mean, you could say it's a system, a methodology, but it's universally applicable. So, you can still do what you're doing and incorporate this stuff in. I'm not saying you got to like quit doing what you're doing and do this. The one and only real bias that Kei Golf has is that it does start with the lower body. It believes that that's where it's not about your shoulder turn. It's much more about this holistic and starting from the lower body and the core. Outside of that, it's universal principles and can be woven into other approaches, I would say.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right. Well, listen, I want to wish you a very happy and healthy new year. And before 2016 rolls around, you will be back.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And happy holidays to you, to everybody listening. And we do have some holiday specials, so they can go to my website and check them out. DVDs, instruction, that sort of stuff.
And all the details are at the end of last episode. But again, it's KeiGolf.com, KeiGolf.com, or thekeiway.com.
Right.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Happy holidays. Thanks so much, Fred.
So as an update, the video that Jamie created for the Golf Channel is on last week's blog post as part of one of our conversation with her. And the chipping video that we created together a while back is on this week's blog post at golfsmarter.com. Or while you're there, on the homepage of golfsmarter.com, members or not, click on the video tips logo on the homepage, and you will get access to all of the Golf Smarter TV episodes, entries, whatever you'd like to call them. They're not really episodes because they're not ongoing like this is, but they include instruction, travel, tech, fitness, and a lot of goofy fun, which is primarily what I like to do all the time. And speaking of goofy fun, a couple of those videos are with comedian and host of Back Nine Network's primetime show Off Par, Mr. Matty Blake. Up next, Matty returns to allow us into his warped mind for our sixth annual Matty B Awards. Now, even though I may make regular reference to a number of the players on the PGA Tour, you'll rarely hear recaps, stats, or even earnings about specific events on this podcast. But the Matty B Awards are different. This is our effort to skewer the best and the worst of the tour over the past season. Now, if you take the tour seriously and are not known for having a sense of humor, then please join us so you can really get pissed at us. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.